I can feel it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hagman Report on this lovely Tuesday evening. That would be the 21st of January, for those of you that have already lost count of the month. That's 2025 for you folks that are still writing the same date of last year on your checks. I'm just filling in for a few minutes here while we get Doug in here on... He's having a little bit of audio problems. Eric's working with him right now to get that straightened out. But, Eric, I can hear you guys. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a great show lined up tonight. We've got a ton of things to talk about. As you know, President Trump was sworn in yesterday, which was a happy day in America. The start of a golden age is what he said. I think what I enjoyed most about the inauguration myself was when he gave his speech there towards the end, and he literally blistered the outgoing president who was sitting right to his left, and he toasted about every Democrat in the room. So to me, that was fantastic. Take a second here, ladies and gentlemen that are on chat. I can't see you right offhand. I know you're there. Welcome to the show. As soon as Doug gets settled in here, he'll take over the reins. But we were just having, he was having a little bit of audio problems, and that can be pretty frustrating. Anyway, back to the inauguration. I thought the inauguration was fantastic. I was very, very proud of President Trump. You know, we fought long and hard to get that man in office, and I'm glad he got in office without any incidents yesterday. It looked like it was a pretty trouble-free day as far as security. I was thrilled for that. One thing that made me feel better going into the inauguration was the fact that a lot of Democrats that said they wouldn't be there and some Republicans that said they wouldn't be there, which concerned me. Those people ended up showing up. So, what's that? Are we good? Yeah. All right, the big man is here.
Yeah.
Nothing that Eric cannot fix in person or remote. Be advised, ladies and gentlemen.
I've got to tell you, I cannot hear me. So what does that mean, Eric?
I can hear you.
Well, that's good. Eric's in tech. What does that mean? You want to troubleshoot this over on live?
Uh-oh. Not the mix button.
All right. So I'm on the mix button now. So...
All right, bear with us for a second here while Doug gets us a 5x5 signal.
Can't hear that. Okay.
Anyway, and back to the inauguration, ladies and gentlemen. I thought it was really nice. I thought it was good. Melania Trump looked fantastic with the hat and all, first class, first lady. I think it's one of the classiest first ladies we've ever had in this country. It's really, President Trump has not wasted any time. He's already written a bunch of executive orders, all kinds of things going out as orders, and plain and simple. And they cover a vast variety of things, things like redefining what the military is going to do as far as securing, our national boundary, international boundary, the border, a lot of different things that he's written down. Things like places where illegals cannot hide anymore. You know, he used to be able to hide in churches and things like that, you know, to avoid ICE. Those places doesn't matter where you're at. If you're an illegal, your name's on a piece of paper and they know you're illegal, you're getting bagged. In fact, I was just glancing down some of these emergency, now, and this is fantastic, delivering emergency price relief for American families and defeating the cost of living crisis. He's really jumping into this with both feet. And you got to admit, he's got some pretty smart people around him. He really has. And I think that we're off on a really positive footing. And we're going to run with it. And I pray for this man. I've prayed for President Trump every day for a long time. And what I also liked the fact that he said yesterday that he knows that his life was spared by God for a reason. I could work with a man like that.
And Randy Taylor, I got to tell you something.
There he is.
All right. Oh, hang on one second here. I've got to cut this audio.
All right. That's cool. So, we were just chit-chatting here a little bit about the inauguration yesterday.
Yeah, I could hear you. I still can't hear me, but that's a whole nother thing. Okay, before we
you
get
look,
started.
You sound a lot better than I do. You were pretty sick the other night with the...
Yeah.
You were really,
yeah.
really plugged up. You sound not 100%, but a lot better than you did, sir.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah, actually, I'm going to be fine. It's just that nagging, you know, that nagging clog. I mean,
oh, yeah,
my
buddy.
Goodness.
If this isn't the month-long cold, I've never had one.
I'm telling you, it's wild. But before, before we get started today, I just want to thank everyone in the chat, everyone who sponsors this show. Thank you so very much. Also, thank you to our sponsors, including BoostWithDoug.com. That's BoostWithDoug.com. You know, Cutting Edge 2024 study reveals that half of us adults have trouble with blood pressure. We've got high blood pressure, according to the CDC, which, well, go figure, right? Only about one in four adults have their blood pressure under check, putting millions of people like you and me at risk of heart disease and stroke. It might seem like an uphill battle, but we can take control of our heart health, and it doesn't have to be complicated. So that's why I started using this awesome product to help manage my blood pressure. Look on the screen. It manages my blood pressure, my cholesterol, my weight. Triple action formula. Packed with clinically proven all-natural ingredients like white mulberry leaf and cinnamon bark powder. And this powerful formulation is designed to support balanced blood sugar levels and healthy weight like nothing else out there. And thousands of people like myself wouldn't want to go a day without it. So do your body a favor, folks. Grab it today while it's up to 40% off. During their holiday special, only at BoostWithDoug.com. That's BoostWithDoug.com. Plus, order today. And your delivery will be rushed at no additional cost. Once again, that's BoostWithDoug.com. And I want to thank you again for supporting us, supporting our sponsors, and doing what you do. All right. Randy Taylor, a couple of things. Man, I'll tell you what, I was chapped today. You know, you were right. Your opening comments were exactly right, but I was chapped today. I've got like a metric ton of show prep. You saw it, right? We got a problem here, and I think today, with respect to the hostages, the J6 hostages in DC, in the DC gulag, I am chapped beyond belief, because I believe this is some insight into how President Trump is going to be treated for 4 years, or how they're going to try to treat him for 4 years. Basically, Muriel Bowser, Judge Nichols, I believe his name is, and the Bureau of Prisons gave Donald Trump the finger. Now, last week, real quick, and then I'm going to turn it back to you, we had 300, there were about 1,600, roughly, criminal convictions for January 6th. And folks, we were on that list of people of interest as well. I'm not going to get into that. But so there was about 1,600 that were litigated and convicted, and 300 as of election day were in prisons. I had some communication with Gary Haven today. He was very busy with his J6 ambassador mission, folks, if you go back and listen to last Thursday. But here's the thing. As of election day, there were still 300 in prisons across America, in 75 prisons in 35 states. 211 as of today, early morning, were released. Okay, the bottom line is the only remaining J6 hostages, political prisoners, were in the DC gulag. There were 22. So of the 22, 15 were scheduled to be released. 7 reportedly had some sort of problem with concurrent or previous arrests, charges. But here's what really this got my goat. Bowser, Bureau of Prisons, and everyone else they're slow walking, and the judge slow walking the papers. When you've got two House members of the two congressmen at the gulag saying, let these people out now, showing the executive orders, and they're not cooperating, what is the problem here? I mean, it pisses me off to no end. They mistreated these people for 4 years, and they're mistreating President Trump. They're telling him basically, your orders don't mean a damn thing, or we'll get to him.
You need to stick somebody up their ass with a microscope. I'm talking 24 hours a day. Anything and everything that judge does wrong or that head of the Bureau of Prisons does wrong, I'd be all over them like flies on crap.
I'm going to tell you something.
I'll tell you, and he's not weaponizing.
No,
he would not be.
No, that's nothing.
Compared to what they did to him. I would absolutely, those two little SOBs would be in trouble.
I was astounded because I was watching some live feeds from some smaller channels out in front of the prison. And last night, too, around midnight or so, I don't recall the time, one on a stretcher, another one walked out. But again, we still have 15 that have not been released. Now, I believe a couple have been released this evening. I'm not 100% certain. I stopped the show prep about 10 minutes before show. So there was some stuff going on, but I didn't see everything. But the fact that they're in there a minute longer than they have to be is just repulsive to me. And, you know, when you compare this to Biden's pardons, the J6 committee, who destroyed evidence.
Preemptive pardons at that, sir. I never heard of a preemptive pardon.
There's only one time in history that happened, and that was Nixon.
Yeah, I'd never heard of a preemptive. Well, I'm absolutely baffled by that, and honestly, it needs to be fought in court.
It does. I mean, Nixon was granted a broad pardon by Ford. Okay, so that's the only, but preemptive pardons, you know, I've got a lot of clips here that kind of sort of address those preemptive pardons and the J6 hostages. So, but before we get to that, to lower my blood pressure, did you see what happened at the National Cathedral today? Folks in chat, did you happen to see that? National Cathedral? Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Okay. It's not going to lower my blood pressure. It's going to raise my blood pressure.
Uh-oh.
All right. I'm going to show you folks. Eric the Tech, this is cut 5. And I'm going to play around with some knobs to see if I can get my sound working. But this is cut 5. This is Bishop. I don't know how to pronounce
it. Oh, okay. I see it,
Bud.
Yeah, the dressing down that he got at the
prison. Yes. Did you see that, folks?
He had to sit there and listen to that crap. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know that's what you were referencing.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I was just called disgusting or if this was. But let me tell you something. This Episcopal bishop, I got the background on this bull dyke. Okay, I don't know what she is. And Randy Taylor, tell me, I don't believe women should be in that position.
And even women don't think women should be in that position. And that's no joke.
No,
you ask in churches, and now you get some bull dyke out on the street and ask her that's never been to church. Oh, as a leader, of course. But you ask women in churches and study your Bible. That's not a woman's job. It's not a woman's job.
No. Now, so picture this. You're President Trump. Today is your first full day in office. You go to a prayer service with your family, with your vice president, and you're expected to hear prayers and a sermon. And folks, this is what you hear in part. It's 2 minutes and 20 seconds long. This is cut 5. And then I'll be back on the other side.
And President Trump had to put up a lot longer than 2 minutes.
Oh, absolutely. but this is kind of like the icing on the cake. Go ahead. Man.
Let me make one final plea, Mr. President. Millions have put their trust in you. And as you told the nation yesterday, you have felt the providential hand of a loving God. In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country.
Watch Vance and watch Trump.
There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families. Some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger, for we were all once strangers in this land. May God grant us the strength and courage.
All right.
I can't
take this crap.
I go to Washington and beat the hell out of her.
I'm going to tell you something, all right?
Oh, look, brother. I don't know. Some people need to just shut up, because she bounced from illegal to their taxpayers. Well, of course, immigrants. We're all immigrants, you silly bitch. Okay? But we're legal. My grandfather came over in 1939 from Scotland legally.
Yes.
He did the paperwork.
He didn't come in the back door.
He didn't crawl under a fence on the southern border or walk across Eagle Pass with a cell phone.
And how did that go from immigration to LGBTQRSVP crap, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. I mean, that's godlike. That's godlike. My ass, okay? But to make it worse, okay, remember when the church, St. John's Church, caught fire, or was set on fire by BLM, Antifa arsonists, and President Trump walked over there with a Bible?
Yes.
All right, well, enter the same bishopette, okay? I think this is cut six, and if it's not cut six, it's cut eight.
A quick note, if I walk up to the Vatican and just try and walk in, it's not going to happen.
Right.
I'm going to get bagged. Okay?
Yeah.
The last time I looked around the Vatican, there's some pretty high walls around there.
So
don't sit here and preach to me if you're not practicing what you're preaching.
Exactly.
And this little bull dyke and her little arena of the world, I'm sorry, she doesn't see the big picture. She's clueless as the big picture.
Exactly. But again,
they should have vetted her better.
Exactly. That was said earlier today. Who vetted this woman? But see, everything's been a setup here. And from yesterday to today, things have been working against President Trump, and a lot of people are trying to make nice about this. I am not. I don't want to make nice about it. I want to salt the friggin' earth. Okay, with these people,
he needs to start stomping.
All right. This is cut eight, not six, but cut eight. This is Bishop Marianne Bud, B-U-D-D-E. How do you pronounce that? Bulldog. It's always been against Trump. It's 30 seconds in length. Here it is, cut eight.
First of all, the context which your reporting described, that after speaking so harshly and with militaristic overtones to the nation, he had the park of peaceful protesters cleared with tear gas and officers in riot gear to make a symbolic gesture, holding a Bible as if to spiritually condone a message and a posture that is antithetical to the teachings of Jesus and everything that we as a church stand for.
Shut up.
Really? Tell that to all the choir boys that have killed themselves because they were raped in your churches. Stop. Yeah. Just stop. Do not preach to me, Missy.
Oh, but there's more. One more clip. This is cut 6, 45 seconds. You see, you got to look a little deeper with these people because you know they're out there. They're behind the scenes. They're doing things, right? They're skulking around. You know, they're feeding the BLM people.
Mm-hmm.
Here's cut 6, 45 seconds.
Why did you want to come out here and send
their message? It is a message of a call for justice, for swift justice for George Floyd, for systemic justice for all brown and black people who have been under the knee of this country in ways that we have witnessed time and again. This is wrong. And this rising up, this spontaneous uprising of people, mostly half my age or younger, they're the ones we should be listening to.
And they're angry at the
president.
They're
so angry.
They're angry at the president. So what is your message to President Trump today?
Well, he should. I've given up speaking to President Trump. We need to replace President Trump. We need leadership that will lead us in the ways that this country deserves.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So what do you think of that, RT?
I don't know.
I know.
People like that.
God bless you.
Yeah. God shining down on Joe Biden. Yeah, that's certain.
And I'll tell you something. We've got a problem in this country, and it's gonna.
And Trump needs to put his foot down. He needs to set the tone. Set the mark and enforce it, because do not let these people push you around. Set the mark and enforce it.
I totally agree with you on that. And here's, okay. So that's how the day started. And again, folks, look at the bigger picture. That's all I'm saying. Is the bigger picture is you've got this, and we know this administrative state that's working against President Trump, right? I mean, anything that he wants done, there he's going to have to fight. Him and his people, us, we're going to have to fight for it.
Whoever set that up where you had to sit there and listen to that should be fired.
I got to give him a lot of credit. If it would have been me, and I've done this before, I've actually walked out of certain places, including a church once.
But that would be a message. Anybody that sets me up, you're going to get fired on the spot.
Yeah.
You're out of here.
I'm not going to put up with this crap. I mean, really. Okay, there was that, you know, again, but somebody in the chat, and I apologize, I didn't see who it was. Thank you for saying this. Look, Carrie Underwood, I do believe, was set up deliberately. I think a lot of things happened yesterday. They were set up.
Did you see Bill Clinton looking at her butt? Did you notice him and just like grinning from ear to ear?
Bill Clinton or
Clinton?
Yeah.
No, Zuckerberg was looking at the girl's boobs next to him.
Yeah, and who dresses like that? For first of all, Fetterman. Okay, are you kidding me? Okay, you show up to an inauguration in shorts and a hoodie. I would have dragged that. Look, I don't care if you're the nicest guy in the world.
I wouldn't
respect the office.
Yeah, I wouldn't allow him in.
Nope. You got a dress code. I mean, for you're not 6 or 12. Maybe mentally you are. I don't give a damn if you're the staunchest conservative.
Dress accordingly.
Doug makes me wear a tuxedo while I push buttons.
It is kind of sad. Ladies and gentlemen, it is kind of sad. I've seen it.
Yeah.
And he just goes grinder off the wagon.
The bow ties are the worst.
I'm going to tell you. And there's two times when it's okay to wear a bow tie. When you're wearing a tuxedo and when you're 6 years old. Okay? It's not cute after six.
I used to wear a bow tie when I was a bouncer, man.
Okay.
The reason I liked them, if somebody grabbed the bow tie, you didn't get choked to death.
Well, that's true. EMS, you know, sadly, I don't wear clip-on ties, but sadly, EMS, you always wear a clip-on tie because somebody grabs you. And,
well, that's a heck of a weapon. Yeah, you want no ties, keep your hair short. There's an art to being a bouncer.
Yeah, exactly.
Clip-ons do not pass dress code.
No. Not in my world. I'm going to tell you right now. But
toddler.
As a kid, I wore clip-ons. That was about it. I've always worn a real tie.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember that. But
and trust me, I can get the real tie off real fast.
Sometimes you have to, especially if your name is Epstein. But anyway.
Bow ties and Speedos.
But yeah, not together. All right.
Bad visual.
All right. So, okay. So I put together, RT, I put together a bunch of, really a bunch of information here, a bunch of clips. And as the left is just, their heads are exploding over the J6 pardons and commutations. They're not talking about the Biden pardons. They're not
talking about
any of this. Okay. Yeah. And even some of the press is non on President Trump. I've got a clip of him tonight talking about the reasons why he did what he did. But let's go to, let's see here. Let's go to video one. This is a minute 30. This is Biden pardoning those who committed perjury on J6, regarding J6. Can you imagine, folks, you're part of an unselect committee and you're pardoned for everything, but even perjury. Well, here's a minute 36. This is Charlie Kirk and Julie Kelly. Cut one.
The other element of J6 news that we saw, we don't have tons of time here, Julie, about a minute and a half, so tease it out, is that in the morning, every member of the J6 committee and their staff received a preemptive pardon from the scum of the earth, Joe Biden. This one even took me by surprise. What is going on here?
So he issued pardons for not just the members, so Benny Thompson and Adam Kinzinger, of course, Liz Cheney, but the staffers. So this would be the investigators. I think they hired a dozen federal former prosecutors, Charlie, to interrogate 1,000-plus witnesses, mostly Trump White House employees. They're all pardoned. But the real outrage, Charlie, is pardoning what I call the four J6 celebrity cops, Mike Fanone, Aquilina Gunnell, Harry Dunn, and Daniel Hodges, who not only committed perjury under their sworn testimony during that first hearing in July of 2021, they have showed up as victims and witnesses in J6 hearings and trials and sentencing, begging judges to throw the book at J6ers based on the lies about their injuries or what they saw or what they endured. All four of them committed perjury multiple times, and that is proven by the fact that Joe Biden has had to issue a pardon to exonerate them. They caused arguably more damage to J6ers than Liz Cheney and that committee. Really a despicable move by Joe Biden on top of so many.
There you go, right? I mean, despicable. You have a group, supposedly bipartisan group in Congress, sending people to prison on lie upon lie upon lie. And they have suborned perjury, all of them, including and especially that, again, we have another bull dyke, Liz Cheney, okay, ruining people's lives, telling people lies, destroying a terabyte of information. You got to be kidding me.
This calls for street justice.
I'm telling you right now. Yes.
We talked about that before. There's people out there that are upset, and we're waiting for their day in court. We're waiting for justice with Fauci, with these J6 committee members and the people, all the people involved in that. You took that away from them.
Yes.
So whatever happens to them now, I don't really give a damn. If you find Fauci gunned down in the street, I'll enjoy my dinner.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Okay. If you find these J6 liars, we're talking about liars that wrecked and destroyed people's lives, and you tell me that someone went into their home and murdered them.
Yep.
Last night, I'll enjoy my breakfast.
Who in the hell does he think he is? Who does he think he is?
That's absolutely right. I know who I am, and I'll tell you what. Street justice. Uh-huh. We got to get, you know, I want the old America back.
And
these preemptive pardons, you can shove that up your ass. If I felt I needed justice, preemptive pardon, all that would do is get you killed.
Well, I was talking right before showtime. I was talking with Rob Pugh of Wisconsin Christian News. Okay, so folks, if I'm going to tell you right now, hey man, if you don't get Wisconsin Christian News, definitely get it and help them out too. I mean, they're the only Christian newspaper on the planet, I think, anymore. But they're both hard copy and digital. But I submitted a column, and my column last for this issue was about Biden's pardons. And in my last paragraph, I sent him an email. I said, "See, I'm 3 for 3." My last paragraph, I predicted Fauci, Milley, and J6. And I wrote that, oh my goodness, I don't know, 10 days ago. 15 days ago, actually. 16 days ago. So having said that, why'd I bring that up? I don't know.
Flippity-jibbity nonsense.
And Milley, what is Milley pardoned from? What, any kind of prosecution?
Well, okay, so Jonathan Turley,
I would just strip him of his rank and take away his pension. Call it a day. Fight it out in court for the next 20 years. He'd be dead by then.
Right. I'm going to tell you right now, Jonathan Turley addresses the Biden crime family. Someone else addressed the possibility, and folks in the chat, I don't know, does this cover you from UCMJ? Military
I don't
business?
Know. That's a really good question, because probably because Biden technically is commander-in-chief of the armed forces. It would depend how he wrote the pardon, you know, how it was written out.
Well, I do believe that we are going to see some intense scrutiny of the pardons.
Of his cognitive ability to even write those pardons.
Right.
And they wrote those pardons to where Trump would never know about it yesterday. He wrote it in the last 15 minutes. Well, Trump was already in the rotunda, already in the building down there. He knew nothing about those pardons. To Biden's family,
you're right.
To Fauci, to Milley. He didn't know anything about those.
You're 100% right.
Or he would have crucified him in his speech that he made, which I absolutely loved. It was a great speech, because he was sitting there and he was doing everything but calling Joe Biden a lousy bastard while he was sitting there. And Biden, you just see him, he's looking at the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, the president was just toasting his ass.
Well, undoing a legacy, undoing this, I wouldn't even call it a legacy, undoing the damage that...
A nightmare.
Yeah. You've got, I mean, to see the faces, and there was a lip reader, I don't know whether you saw this, there was a lip reader who was able to, I think John, Eric the Tech, did John mention this yesterday? I don't know. But there was a lip reader that read Obama's lips, and at one point, right before the swearing in, and Obama said something like, you know, thank you to someone, and then he said, he turned to Bush, I think it was, or Clinton, one of the two, and says, how do we stop this? Or is there a way to stop this? I'm paraphrasing, of course. But folks, you can find it, a legitimate lip reader. You know, and I don't think he was joking around. I think he was serious.
No, he wasn't joking.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's another problem that should be taken care of the old-fashioned way, Obama.
And where is Big Mike?
Well, Big Mike, I think, was out getting the, you know what, I can't say it.
Getting circumcised. Sorry, I was out of my mouth before I realized what I said.
No, you know something? Again, I was on the, I had a call today with someone else. We were talking about this. There's something really weird. And I do believe that we're going to find out more about Big Mike, about Macron, about even Trudeau to some extent. I'm telling you, I think that
Macron's wife's got a little dingy, too.
Well, Macron's wife is supposedly his... Macron's male teacher from years ago.
Didn't we all wonder why Obama was pushing the gay and the homo stuff and right on in with Biden? And that just made perfect sense, considering that he's married to a, you know, transsexual.
Exactly.
Tranny, I guess they call it. I don't know. What would Big Mike be? I don't know.
Sick in the head. I mean, you know, look, I don't know. But by the way, CEO4 in the chat, I know it's a little bit late. I just want to tell you that I did radio, a couple of radio shows. You had mentioned, CEO4 in the chat mentioned, made a reference to the A-Team, that old television series. Yeah. And I did radio with Mad Dog Murdoch, Dwight Schultz, okay. By the way, that's not his real name, but anyway, but Dwight Schultz had a radio show, and I did a couple of episodes with him and I. The guy is like super intelligent, but then he kind of went George Bush kind of, you know, in that direction. But anyway, so CDO4, thanks for that reference. Yeah, it was back in the day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I'm telling you, it's a good show.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it was. So, okay, speaking of the J6 committee, Cut 9, RT, this is Troy Nels on the J6 sham committee. It's 2 minutes long, but it's worth every minute. And I think that this will set the stage for people when they look at the reasons why that nothing that ever came from that committee should even be considered. Here's Cut 9. It's 2 minutes, worth every second. Here it is.
You did a lot to get the American people the truth when we were being force-fed a false story about January 6th. Your book is, I think, one of the seminal moments where the story began to change in America. We understood things were going on that we weren't being told about. Yesterday, President Biden felt it incumbent to pardon an entire body of Congress, an entire committee and all its staff and some of its witnesses even. If it was doing the people's business, why would it need a pardon? And is that a setup of the possibility that Congress may repudiate the final report?
Yes, the full and unconditional pardons, too, whether it's the family, whether it's the J6 committee and everybody involved with it. I tell you, we know it. John, I tell you, you guys, you and Amanda have done a great job uncovering some of the scandals that we saw with Benny Thompson and that January 6th sham committee. You mentioned my book. I talk a lot about it in the book and this sham committee. I was supposed to be on the committee, but it wasn't bipartisan because Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, crying, you know, Kinzinger, they were working with the Democrats. They seem to be Democrats. So it wasn't a bipartisan committee, and that committee was set up to destroy, attempt to destroy Donald J. Trump. They made up things, they've hidden things, they've destroyed things. And I don't believe, I personally don't believe that we should stop looking into that January 6th sham committee. I know it's over with, but I think the American people need to hear a little bit of truth, whether he's pardoned them or not. I think the American people need to hear the truth, because Donald Trump did not encourage individuals to come into our nation's capital and just start assaulting police officers and breaking things. And these confidential human sources you've heard about, I mean, whether there are 26 of them, I think four of them entered the building. The FBI needs to be held accountable. And once we get Cash Patel in there, I think we should be looking into January 6th a little bit closer, continue to look into it, so we can provide the American people with some truth, because they didn't hear any truth from the January 6th.
That's right.
You're muted, Doug.
Yep.
Well, just let me do sign language. Have you, by the way, do you notice with the Biden people, the people that do the sign language, it's not just their hands. Man, you got to watch their face, because some of the faces they make are just, and I'm not making fun of people signers at all, but those people, oh my goodness. But anyway, no. But about that clip, it takes a lot, I think, for a congressman to really say that about a committee. I mean, people better pay attention. And I do think I think hell is going to rain upon them.
What do they say? Payback is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Fun.
It's coming. It's coming. Oh. There'll be a day of reckoning.
There will be. And there's a couple of other kind of weird things, RT, and folks. And I think I grabbed it. I think it was Jack Posobiec today was talking about yesterday about the streets being closed in D.C. and about Bowser and people around Bowser and around the people with respect to the inauguration, how they really tried to tank President Trump's day, and they're still doing it today to the people, to not just President Trump, but also to the people who went there to support him. And it's in here somewhere, I'm pretty sure. But I just there's something not right yet. Randy Taylor, do you have any feelings like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't have to be about the inauguration, but there's just something not right.
Oh, there's an undertone there. Trump's not out of the woods, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I really wish I was working for him. I was in D.C.
Man.
I'm serious. There's so many possibilities, man.
Yeah, but you know.
You need resources and pretty much unlimited resources.
But I'm sure President Trump has got fully capable people, and I'm sure they're very loyal people. I know he's got his own security in addition to the Secret Service.
Yeah, but he doesn't have me.
Well, you know, again, I'm sure a lot of people feel that way, but you know, I get it. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing that really I believe is a bit of good news. This is Cut 11, and this is Gruber and Solomon, John Solomon and Steve Gruber, talking about the 50. You remember the 51 morons, intelligence community morons?
Oh, yeah.
Their security clearances are stripped. Bolton, his, not only is a security clearance stripped, but Bolton no longer has Secret Service protection.
Good.
And he's out there saying, "Oh, you know, well, the Iranians are after me." Well, if you would just stop, being a warmonger, okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe you
And Cheney, does she have Secret Service protection?
I don't think after yesterday. If she did, it was, she doesn't after yesterday. Well, she's doesn't hold any office. So why would she? I don't know. But here's cut 11. Here's a minute 30 about with Steve Gruber and John Solomon talking about the security clearances for those who went undercover to trash President Trump. And oh boy, is this good! And I'm going to tell you what, those 51 plus better lawyer up, because I see a whole boatload of hurt going their way. Here's cut 11.
Taking the clearance away from 51 people, Brennan, Clapper, John Bolton got his taken away. This is important. These 51 people signed their names to a letter with Hunter Biden, for example, where they said, we have special information because we have high-level clearance, and therefore, when we say it's Russian interference or this is disinformation, believe us because we have the special information. They were lying. They knew they were lying. And Donald Trump and his administration are quick to say, no, you can't have access to tell the world you have this special information and then manufacture a story, which you know they did.
It is the first act of accountability after 4 years of those 51 getting away with really no harm to their reputations or anything. Remember what we learned. Within minutes of that letter coming out, the director of national intelligence at the time, John Ratcliffe, said it's not true. The laptop is not Russian interference. There's no intelligence to say that. But the media decided to side with those 51. Getting back to the topic we started with, the media and those 51, there was some accountability to it. Those 51 won't be able to make money off security clearance going forward. They've been stripped of it. It's a real consequence. It comes to a consequence to their wallets and their reputation. It's long overdue based on the record that's in the body of evidence that's already in the record. But Donald Trump said he would give accountability, and he's delivering it already.
Well, you look at Clapper and Brennan and Bolton. These are all people that detest Donald Trump, and they use their security clearance as cover to go in and trash him and his administration.
And it cuts off unceremoniously right there, but I cut it off, or had it cut off there.
Brennan, I never liked Brennan. You guys have known for years I don't like Brennan. I don't. Never liked him at all.
See,
never trusted the man.
I don't think either, though, that this is the end. I think right now you've got a bunch of people running scared, including those 51. Imagine, and John and I mentioned this last night, Randy, imagine making your living on CNN or whatever, MSNBC, wherever Brennan and Clapper show their faces. You know what it's, I mean, you know what it's like for with a security clearance, what information you can get, and of course,
you make a living. You can make a living doing it.
Exactly.
He just stripped everything from them.
And
that's what they deserve, though. They deserved it. And now they need to be sued.
And that, I've got it on fairly good authority, that is coming next.
I mean, I would be... You know what? I would have so many lawsuits out there. I would have to have a real estate company just to handle all the houses I would take possession of to settle the suits. I kid you not. I put these people in the street. Clapper? I said, though, when Trump was president, they should have turned Clapper. They should have got a hold of Clapper and turned him. Had they turned Clapper, they would have known everything. They never
turned
Clapper.
Could they have? Could they have?
Oh, yeah, Clapper's a put.
I don't care.
Dirty, rotten traitor.
Clapper is, he's not tough. He's not like Brennan tough. Clapper's a wuss. I would have turned him.
To me, Clapper always wanted to appear the intellectual and almost like a godfather.
He came off more as a dork.
Well, yes, but...
You know, I never saw him of anybody of consequence. You know, like, if he told me, I'm going to have you killed, I wouldn't give him a second thought. Seriously. He struck me as a big nobody.
Well, I totally agree with you on the fact that he is really, now especially, he's a nobody. But
I want to see him suffer. They deserve to suffer.
And again, there's a level, I believe, of I don't want to say retribution, but I think a level of justice, much needed justice, coming their way.
And they may band together and try and pull something. You don't know. They don't know what they'll do. You have no idea. You've got the dog, and you got him in the corner, and you're kicking him.
Yeah.
That dog's going to lash out. So I want them to experience all the pain that is possible. I mean, all of it. What they did was treasonous.
And that just barely covers it.
Yeah, I would like to see them stripped of absolutely everything. I'd like to see them lose their pensions. I'd like to see them lose their rank. And honestly, I'd like to see them in prison.
100% behind you.
There has to be a message. The message has to be sent. We don't lie about the president.
And, okay, so that brings me to a question I have for you. Mm-hmm. You know that, and folks, I don't know whether you heard this or not, but obviously Christopher Wray resigned from the FBI before being fired. Okay, so what happened when he resigned? You have the acting FBI director, Paul Abate. He announced his retirement just one day after taking the helm. Okay, this is the acting FBI director. So you have Wray, boom, out the door. Now, all of a sudden, Paul Abate, I think it was today, said, "See ya, I gotta go." Okay. I'm sorry, that was yesterday, just minutes before President Trump was sworn into office. And again, Wray resigned, Abate was elevated, and he had been expected to replace Wray as Cash Patel awaits his confirmation. 28 years in the FBI, out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
what do you make of this? I think that he knows where all the bodies are buried, and he was afraid of being put on a stand and forced to testify. And he knows all the stuff that Wray did. And I think that's why he said, "No, you ain't coming after me." Otherwise, I think the man would have stayed at the helm until he got fired. He's deeply involved. If he was second in command, maybe he was the lackey. You know what I mean?
Wray would say it,
and then this guy would make sure it got done.
I do know this. Abate, again, the guy who resigned minutes before President Trump took the oath yesterday, he told his comrades, and I use that term deliberately, in the FBI to hide the identities of the inserts, the covert operatives, the FBI confidential human sources and assets at the Capitol on January 6th. He said it would be too embarrassing for the agency if the information was leaked out. So he hid that information from the American public.
Well, just the fact that he would even say that kind of paints the picture of the FBI.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That right there. That alone right there tells the story.
100%. So I'm just wondering right now, you've got a leaderless FBI. You've got Cash Patel in the wings. And you've got a whole crap load of liars and people who really set out to destroy President Trump, mm-hmm. still in the administrative state, in the orbit of the federal bureaucracy.
And it scares me in the FBI, because I'll tell you what, Doug's worked with the FBI, I've worked with the FBI. I'll tell you right now, they didn't break the law. The ones I worked with.
Oh, okay.
Break the law.
Yeah.
They were fine agents. They were excellent agents. They made sure, I'm just telling you, they didn't break the law. They didn't violate people's rights. They would have never participated in some of the things that I've heard. You know what I mean? And that's amazing. And I didn't leave because of them. I left because of Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah.
Just so I'm clear on that. Okay, because the agents that I worked with and the analysts that I worked with in the FBI, they didn't break the law. They wouldn't break the law. In fact, that's why I worked with them, because they would not break the law. They would not go into a forum and entrap someone. That's exactly why I worked with them. That's why they came to me. So,
well,
I just, and that was a long time ago. That was a long time ago. I pulled up stakes back in 2009, 2010. Yes, I mean, it's been 15 years. A lot has happened in 15 years to what used to be a pretty decent organization.
Yeah. And I remember working with them in the 90s on as an operational asset. And I have to say that they work closely with the federal attorney. Okay, so
you know where a part of the downfall came, and this is my humble opinion, when they started what they called the JTTF.
I'll give you that.
Okay, Joint Terrorism Task Force.
Yep.
Now, and I want you to picture this, New York.
Yep.
This is the building. You walk in the building, NYPD. NYPD Intel.
Yep.
U.S. Marines, U.S. Army, U.S. Coast Guard, DIA, CIA, NSA. Everything you could think of, and there's literally almost 30 of them in the same area working. Then they start working together. Now, everybody knows that the same rules that apply for the CIA don't necessarily apply to the FBI. Or what applies to the FBI certainly does not apply to the CIA. If you start mixing and matching and doing all these things, that's where these FISA abuses come from. That's where things get out of hand. That's where spying on American citizens comes from, because the lines got blurred in that room or in that building. I'm just here today to tell you. Okay. And that was the main place in the United States where all those people from all those agencies, bureaus, all of them were put together in the same building. I know that for a fact. And I think that was where a lot of things started happening that went wrong.
Well, you remember the introduction of Jamie Gorelick and the so-called... structural or the wall that segregated the criminal investigators, the very thing you're talking about right now, and how she said that that was responsible for 9/11, and Jamie Gorelick under who was she under, Bush, or I think she might have been under Bush.
Yeah, it's probably Bush.
Okay. You remember she had, because she attributed the silo of information, all of that, the building you're talking about, mm-hmm. that shared the people that shared information, contrary to law, and under the pretext of preventing another 9/11, violated the civil rights of everybody in the country, basically.
Oh, yeah. The Patriot Act went against Americans. So in for America, when they tried to sell it as it's protecting and making America better. No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. George Bush and the White House and the people back then, they violated tons of rights of Americans. And it's continued since then. Very sad.
Very sad.
Very, very sad. We traded our liberty for security. And we should not have ever done that.
And we're still in that position.
Yes, sir.
And we need to
traded
get the hell
our
up.
Liberty for surveillance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Very good, Eric the Tech.
In person.
He'll be here all night.
He'll be here all week. By the way, it wasn't under Bush. She wasn't under Bush. She was, but she was under Clinton primarily when the whole thing.
A lot of women were under Clinton. Why don't you bring it up? I couldn't believe him staring at what's it, Underhill? What was her name? Carrie Underwood. Staring at her butt and laughing. My wife, of course, pointed it out.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
It's like, you got to kid me. Every camera in the world, in the free world, is looking at you right now. And that's what you got. That's what you brought to the party. The part that floored me is when you watched Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton walk into the room. When you see them, it's really weird. When I look at those two and they're walking, it's almost like crap just falls off of them while they're walking. You know what I mean? I just see this trail of BS and crime and child trafficking. And I look at them and I'm like, why do people even invite these two ass clowns to anything at the Capitol anymore?
I was picturing active decomposition as they're walking, but no, that too.
Bill had makeup on. Did you notice that? Bill Clinton had makeup on, because I'll tell you what, he looks like crap in real life.
Well, he looks like crap on TV. I mean,
he looked.
I don't wear yesterday. A toupee.
He looked better yesterday than he normally does.
The
Clinton.
Boobs.
I was loving Hillary Clinton though. She's sitting there. Here's the best part. When they said, and the 45th president and the 47th president, and the look on her face was just glorious that she couldn't even get in one time, and he got in twice.
I know, made
history, Doug.
and you know, when they walked in, okay, so Pence walked in, there were loud boos.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Obama walked in, there were loud boos. And both Clintons walked in, more boos. And they you could tell the sound, people tried to tamp that down. But you could tell the disgust of the people in there. Mm-hmm. Even some of the sworn members of Congress. I mean, mm-hmm. it's absolutely mind-blowing. The fact that we have an active member of the FBI calling it quits, to me, speaks volumes. Now, you've got a couple of things going on right now. You have Marco Rubio in office as a Secretary of State. You've got Pam Bondi, and I don't know how many people heard this, but Pam Bondi's been put on like a 7-day hold. I don't know how they can do this. And do I have that here? It's video 10. This is something that I really believe that is all part of the deep state, the administrative state. I think this is part of their push against President Trump. Why don't we play cut 10, and then Randy Taylor, you tell me what you think on the other side of this, because I do believe Pam Bondi, the way she handled herself, embarrassed a lot of people, and maybe they're a little bit afraid of Pam Bondi. So
they're very afraid of Pam Bondi. Of
DOJ, right. And a DOJ, as well as Cash Patel, which that should really make for an interesting confirmation hearing. But here's Pam Bondi, and Democrats again putting a hold on her nomination. This is per Senator Grassley. It's a minute 40. Here it is, cut 10.
Has called for it publicly. You are aware of that, aren't you?
No one has asked me to investigate.
But the president has.
We're also worried about Liz Cheney.
The president has called for this.
You know what we should be worried about?
Ms. Bondi, please answer my questions.
California right now is through the roof.
Ms. Bondi,
your robberies are 87% higher than the national average.
My question is this.
That's what I want to be focused on, Senator.
Do you have the power to say no to the president? And what you're suggesting today by your non-answer is you don't have the independence to say no to the president. So let me ask you a different question. It also requires you, if you're going to be a good attorney general, to be able to tell hard truths to the president. So my questions now are, can you tell hard truths to the president? So let me start with an easy truth that you could speak to the president. Can you tell us, can you tell him that Donald Trump lost the 2020 election? Can you say that? Do you have the independence to say that? Do you have the gravitas, the stature, the intestinal fortitude to say, Donald Trump, you lost the 2020 election? Can you tell us that here today?
Senator, what I can tell you is I will never play politics. You're trying to engage me in a gotcha. I won't do it. I won't play politics with any ongoing investigation, like you did leaking your colleague Devin Nunes's memo. If you'll be able to review hundreds of cases on day one, I will look at every file. I am asked to look at.
Of course you won't. So will you advise the president?
Can I answer the question?
Well, my question
is, I would have plenty of staff. You said, of course you won't.
You'll be able to review hundreds of cases on the first day?
I'm not going to mislead this body, nor you.
All right, let me ask another question. You don't want to answer that. Let me ask another question.
You were censured by Congress, Senator, for comments just like this that are so reckless.
Whoops. Grassley, that
was a chef.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but Grassley said that this, they put her on hold for 7 days, and apparently it was because of her demeanor or actions during the hearing. But
she is going to go after Schiff.
Yeah, I believe it.
You know, listen, that is one woman you just spurned. I've been married long enough to know that you need to beware the wrath of a pissed off woman. They might smile at you and go, I forgave you a long time ago. Right. You're going to find your testicles in a jar on the nightstand. Okay. I'm just telling you. And Adam Schiff has no right to say anything that he said there. I can't wait for the day that they put handcuffs on Adam Schiff and take him to jail.
There's so much against him. I will throw a party.
Okay? He needs to be declared an enemy of the state and leave it and have Donald Trump just leave it at that. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Schiff, as of tonight, is an enemy of the state.
Exactly.
And don't say anything else. Just leave it at that and see if he makes it the morning.
I can't stand
that guy, that pencil neck.
But for what? There is such a heavy...
He led the impeachment against the president.
Of course, but...
He is the orchestrator of lies, and he's sitting there trying to get her to agree to one of his lies.
Correct. But then you've got the personal side of Schiff, which would make the hair stand up on the back of your neck to understand.
You're talking about having sex with dead men?
That's just one.
That's just one of the things him and Ed Buck used to do.
Right, right.
The guy dies while he's having sex and he continues.
And oh, the screams, you know. Okay, yeah. Folks, if you don't know what we're referencing here, you can...
Look this up.
Yeah. So there's that, you know, the compromise from that. There's a compromise from, from really pretty much everything you can think of possibly. It's just, it's really ridiculous.
There are so many people that need to be shackled and taken to jail.
Exactly.
And I know they would call it persecuting. I call it prosecuting.
And I call it justice.
And it's evening out the law.
Yes.
These are things where laws were broken a long time ago and nothing was done about it. The law is going to be a little late, but it's going to happen.
Amen. I
guarantee you in the next 4 years, I bet, we see Schiff in prison.
Did you happen to see this? Catherine Herridge is down in Guantanamo. Now, I do not subscribe to any Q crap at all, okay? If you believe that, fine. Whatever. But... Catherine Herridge is down at Gitmo, and people are saying, wonder what she's doing down there. I mean, because there's not too many people left down there right at the moment. And I'm kind of curious myself. Have you heard anything about this, or do you know anything about this? Why she might be down there?
No. I do know that every day, Doug, I just try and follow the plan. That's all I know.
Follow the plan. While you're playing 5D chess with the with Scavino. Okay. I get it.
It used to kill me. Everybody's like, well, Q said, you know, anybody can be right part of the time. That's all we learned from Q, said anybody could be right part of the time.
Sure.
You know, you can just roll the dice and be right. But, you know, the Q just kind of went away suddenly. I'm surprised you didn't crop back up again.
Oh, no, it's still around. I mean, you've got Q promoters and stuff. But you know, without regard to that, again, if you want to believe that, go for it.
All right, man. It's like people that believe that Hillary Clinton was tried and convicted 6 or 7 years ago in Guantanamo and hanged. Okay, then what is that crap stain that I see on my television and on my social platforms?
And couldn't they do a better job of, like,
yeah, I mean, come on, guys. Some people live and dug in such an alternate reality, it scares me.
Folks, take your dog out for a walk if you want to believe. I mean, if you believe that stuff.
That's just crazy when you folks, and then people say, well, they're all clones, and you start naming off all these people. Would you just stop?
Yeah.
Okay, there comes a point where you got to stop. All right? And if you're that far gone, okay, go see somebody. Talk to them. Spend $70 for an hour, okay, and just get it off your chest. Some people are just crazy.
I've got no doubt that there are doubles and stuff like that, but you know,
they're talking clone robots.
No, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, really? Come on, please. You have a job and a driver's license? Oh my Lord. You don't have children, do you? Man. It scares me, Doug.
I know.
It scares me. And people, but a lot of them are telling me about these. It's like the people were talking about all the children in the tunnels in California and special forces went in and saved them. And stop it. No. Just stop it.
There are tunnels, obviously, and there are children missing. Yes. You've got, you know, but
there was no special operation.
No.
And please, people, get a grip on it. Because if you're saying that and you're thinking that, I'm concerned for you. Okay?
Yeah.
You obviously want to be on the right team. Okay? But you got to have a little something going for you to be on the team. Okay?
Yes.
Just a little something.
And everything is not... I mean, we have so many conspiracies right now, we don't have to make anything up or really exaggerate.
No, and that's true. And not everything that happens is a conspiracy, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, almost, but not everything.
Not at the rate it gets spun.
Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report, RT, Randy Taylor, RT at HagmannPI.com is his email. Should you want to talk with him and just yell at him or whatever, that's RT at HagmannPI.com, as well as his social media, which is Randy Taylor _USA on X.
Yeah, and we're picking up more and more followers on X. It's great. Trying to get the shows out there. I've got leads for almost every time we're on the show. I put something out there inviting people to the show. Please just take that and repost it. Okay. You don't even have to quote or anything. Just repost it and get it out there. Okay. And other people are going to see it. It brings more listeners in, does better for our numbers. Okay. It does better with our advertisers, the whole nine yards. Okay. It's that simple. Please just get it out there. Get the name out there. I'm not there to get Randy Taylor out there. In fact, you see it says Randy Taylor, but the important thing is Hagmann Report.
That's what we want out
in front of people.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. I just wonder who the guy is in the picture, but
some really young, handsome fella.
Yeah, really.
Yep.
Okay. Randy, hold that thought, folks. Before we go any further, I want to tell you about staywarmnow.com. Staywarmnow.com. You got it. Staywarmnow.com. We're expected, Americans all across America, we're expected to spend more money on heating bills this season than we did on Christmas gifts. I mean, it's insane. Home heating increase expectation, 8.7%. to an average of $941 this winter. I mean, think about what you spend on heat. And it's just an amazingly... Before the show, you were talking about that. I kind of caught some of it as I was trying to plug things in. This is why I use that portable... If you look on the screen, that portable secret weapon. I love how toasty warm it makes my house without the extra heating costs. For example, I spend a lot of time in a den area, and I'll plug that in, and the den's pretty sizable. And boy, I'll tell you what, it really, even with the high ceilings, and it really warms up your den or any place that you put it. It's portable but powerful. It's a mini heater that makes nearly any room warm and cozy. And you have different settings, like, you know, from make me a little warm to set my hair on fire. Okay, but no, I'm kidding on that, but you get the idea. Do your wallet a favor. Grab one of these up while they're up to 60% off this winter season only at staywarmnow.com. Plus, order today and you'll get free expedited shipping, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and several other bonuses. Once again, that's staywarmnow.com. And as I said, Randy Taylor, rt@hagmanpi.com if you want to talk to him, and Randy Taylor _USA on X, or what was formerly Twitter. Now, Randy. Okay, we start off talking a little bit. I was really chapped because of what's going on with the J6. But I look at this as something bigger than just the hostages. I look at this as an FU to President Trump, his administration, and all of us, and especially the people in these prisons. Now, you look, I believe, Randy, that some of the guards in these prisons are... They should be behind bars, and some of the people in the prison should be out.
The sociopaths often are on the wrong side of the bars.
Exactly. I cannot believe, again, I've interviewed people from big prisons, and I just want to, some I just couldn't believe. I mean, how in the hell did they get their jobs and keep their jobs? But that said, Steve Bannon had a great segment. This is cut three. And, I'll tell you what, before we get to that, President Trump was asked in a news conference, I think it was today, it had to be today, I'm pretty sure. He explains why he issued the January 6th pardons. We can kind of use that as a basis for further discussion on this. And the reporter was really relentless, and President Trump shut him down in Trumpian style. This is cut four, but this is President Trump explaining why he issued the J6 pardons, and then we'll go from there. But think about his reasoning. I think everyone would agree with him. This is cut four.
You would agree that it's never acceptable to assault a police officer, sure, right? So then if I can, among those you pardon, DJ Rodriguez, he drove a stun gun into the neck of a D.C. police officer who was abducted by the mob that day. He later confessed on video to the FBI and pleaded guilty for his crimes. Why does he deserve a pardon?
Well, I don't know. Is it a pardon? Because we're looking at commutes and we're looking at pardons. Okay, well, we'll take a look at everything. But I can say this. Murderers today are not even charged. You have murderers that aren't charged all over. You take a look at what's gone on in Philadelphia. Take a look at what's gone off in L.A., where people murder people and they don't get charged. These people have already served years in prison, and they've served them viciously. It's a disgusting prison. It's been horrible. It's inhumane. It's been a terrible, terrible thing. I also say this. You go to Portland, where they wrapped police officers, shot police officers, nothing happened to anybody. You go to Seattle, where they took over a big chunk of the city and people died. Portland, a lot of people died. Wait a minute. And you go also take a look at Minneapolis, because I was there and I watched it. And if I didn't bring in the National Guard, that city wouldn't even exist today. People were killed and nobody went to jail. So these people have already served a long period of time, and I made a decision to give a pardon. Joe Biden gave a pardon yesterday to a lot of criminals. These are criminals that he gave a pardon to. And you should be asking that question Why did he give a pardon to all of these people that committed crimes? Why did he give a pardon to the J6 Unselect Committee when they burned and destroyed all documents which showed that they did what was wrong, not me? Wait a minute. Why did they give a pardon to all of his relatives, his brother who made millions of dollars, to all these different people? He gave pardons. That's the question you should be answering. All right, go ahead. Yeah, please.
Can I just follow up really bad?
No.
That's it.
Go ahead.
You said you will.
That's more than more than Biden talked in 4 years.
That's where the real questions are. They need to be asking Biden, why are you issuing pardons preemptively?
That to me is exactly. And
now, you're saying then they committed something wrong. You give pardons to somebody that's either been wrongfully convicted or somebody that did something wrong.
There you go.
There's no other cases. That's the end of it. So where does Fauci go? Where does he fit in? Tell me. Those are the only two classes there are.
You've got Fauci, you got the J6, and you got the Biden crime family. Specifically, in addition to the other 8,064 pardons that Biden did. But okay. You're right to ask those questions. And folks, these are, and I want to alert everyone in the chat and listening to this and talking or watching this. We are going to be doing some deep dives into these very questions, talking with and perhaps bringing on Randy Taylor and I, to the extent possible, bringing on people that have answers to these questions, constitutionally. And what exposure they have. In other words, if Fauci, for example, who has accepted the pardon but insists he did nothing wrong, first of all, is that a valid pardon given the breadth going back to 2014? And Randy Taylor, let me ask you this. What was going on in 2014 that may or may not involve Fauci? You know the answer to that. The biolabs in Ukraine.
Yeah.
The biolabs in Ukraine. Remember the ones that don't exist?
Yeah.
Yeah. The money that was being funneled to Ukraine biolabs after the color revolution by the CIA, by Victoria Nuland, and by Barack Hussein, Barry Satoro, pass me that crack pipe, Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you. All of this is connected. But
and everybody still thinks Ukraine's innocent, huh?
Yeah.
Or did a Ukraine.
And you know, it seems like every little tidbit of information on social media can be exploited. For example, there was the Ukrainian generals have houses in Beverly Hills that burned down. Okay, that wasn't 100% true. That was only like 10% true. There was some truth to that, but follow the little tidbits of information. There are. It's a money laundering operation in Ukraine, but Ukraine also is the playground of the globalists for these viruses and for the genocidal stuff that's taking place. And tomorrow we'll talk about the Davos meeting as well. But anyway, so that laid the foundation, I believe, for the pardons. That did, didn't it?
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Okay. All right. So now we'll go to video 3. And this is what I want you to comment on, because I watched this twice. And this is 4 minutes. This is a 4 minute. I pulled the 4 minutes out of this, or marked it, I should say. This is Steve Bannon tonight. This is just a few hours ago. He was talking about the hostage status. A lot of good information in this 4 minutes. And this is cut 3, beginning at 4:35, 4 minutes and 35 minutes into his show. RT, a lot for you to comment on the other side. Here it is.
Our own Ben Burkholm's down there to release some prisoners. And, of course, a friend of the show, the great congressman from Arizona, Eli Crane. Ben, I don't know if Eli's hooked up or not, but give me an assessment of what's happened this afternoon. All the political prisoners, are the hostages, had they been released?
No, Steve, they haven't. Thanks for having us. And Congressman Crane got out here first thing this morning. Congressman, you just got an update.
Yeah, so thanks, Steve, for having us on. We've been working the phones all day today. First, we talked to the prison's public affairs officer. Then I got connected to, U.S. Marshals, called them. We've been trying to get these guys out of here all day long, but the last word we got was probably about 45 minutes ago that 15 of them are going to be released. They're just waiting on the paperwork. We were told that one of the federal marshals had to go and actually get the packets. We don't know how long that's going to take, but keep in mind, word and, you know, what we've been hearing has been changing all day long. So I, you know, don't know that that's gospel truth, but that's the last bit of information we got.
So here's what I don't understand, Congressman. How can the, you know, he's chief executive of the U.S. government, he's commander in chief of the U.S. Armed Forces, and he's chief magistrate and senior law enforcement officer of the government. He signs pardons. He wants it done. People get it at 7 o'clock. Why are we 24 hours later? These hostages have not been released, Congressman Crane.
Yeah, Steve. I mean, there's a lot of speculation amongst those of us that want to see these individuals released to their families and loved ones. You know, obviously, you know, there's the concern that there's political games being played, people actually dragging their feet intentionally, you know, to slow walk, you know, these efforts. But I have talked to, when I talked to the U.S. Marshal in particular today, he did tell us that, you know, Trump's executive order is being complied with. He even sent a letter to my office saying that they've released 211, federal inmates around the country. I think these are the last ones that are outstanding, so we are waiting on them. So, you know, he also told me that, you know, the thing that was holding some of these guys up, you know, outside of the paperwork, was what if they had prior convictions or not. And so, you know, that's the information that I've got today. But, you know, Ben invited me out today. I'm happy to be here. And I just wanted to come here and stand with these guys, show support and solidarity for these poor families and these guys that have been locked up for years.
Congressman, I know we've got limited time with you. I have to ask, I know one of the things that I think really upset the president was a blanket pardon, preemptive pardons for the J6 committee, Benny Thompson, Cheney, and the staffs. These are people that cause so much pain for everybody. You know, all the J6 prisoners, of course, Navarro and I went to prison. President Trump, I think, had 300 years coming from the criminal referrals from this committee. Number one, why has the speaker not moved to have a vote to shut down this committee and all its historic work? And number two, do you think the congressman that took pardons, should they give up their seats in Congress, sir?
Well, you know, I have heard that, you know, taking these pardons is an admission of guilt by some. You know, as far as Speaker Johnson, I haven't been able to talk to him about that, Steve. You know, today we've been focused solely on trying to get these guys out of jail. But, you know, I'm always open to ideas. I know I'm not the smartest guy in the room, and I'm just here to put my shoulder behind the wheel. And as the, weeks go by, I know there will be plenty of work to be done, man. So, you know, thanks for having us on the show, and thanks for covering this very important story.
So, Randy Taylor and the people viewing and listening, I've got three. The reason I pulled that section, there's three different issues here. The first, and to me, the most obvious issue, if I am a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, and I'm standing outside of a correctional facility where in my hand I've got a copy of an executive order where people need to be released from that prison forthwith. I'm not going to be standing outside that prison, which is probably why I'd never make a congressman.
No, we'd be inside.
We'd be inside. I'd be going down and pulling people out of friggin' cells, okay?
Well, we're circling them out of offices first. Then we would make our way into the cell block.
Okay, right. Give me the friggin' keys, or press the buttons right now. Why?
Let me explain release to you.
Yeah, but my question is, and I'm really serious about it. Like I said, I got three issues with this. If you've got one or two congressmen, I think MTG was there, and another congressman was there. You go in there en masse and you say, now, right effing now. Why didn't they do that? Don't they have the balls? Don't they have the authority?
I thought they would have the authority. Balls? That's another story.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. The second part on this.
Big Mike.
Big Mike's. Man, those would be some bowling balls, let me tell you. But, yeah. Okay, so that was question number one. So the other part of this is, I was writing them down and I stopped. Yeah, okay. I mean, just the fact that they're there and he is more of a spectator than a participant bothers the living daylights out of
him. Papers signed by the highest authority on the land.
Right. Right. I mean, it exactly. And then you've got...
I would want to know who the people inside answer to, because that person would have come with me today.
Exactly.
Sure. I would have went down with somebody that had the authority to go in there and kick somebody's ass around the room.
So would it not be... I mean, you've got a judge, apparently, this Nichols, the D.C. judge, nominated in 2019 by President Trump, by the way, who is apparently overseeing the slow walking of these papers. So I just, again, I don't understand why this has got to be such a big production. You got people standing out in the cold, 6 degree, you know, -2 wind chill. And they're all out there, you know, circle jerking one another while these people are waiting inside. And I guarantee you, the people inside are laughing their asses off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is totally unacceptable to me.
Yep.
And folks, for reasons 2 and 3.
And disrespectful. Extremely disrespectful.
Yeah.
To the prisoners and to President Trump.
Precisely. And when you... This to me is a big thumb in the eye to President Trump. And is this how things are going to go for the next 4 years? They better not.
He needs to get a handle on it now.
Okay. All right. Now, this kind of goes with that video clip. Posobiec, no more messing around, release the J6ers. This is a 2-minute clip as opposed to the longer one. He makes some good points here. And for as much as I like Jack, I think he was a little light on this, but nonetheless, I think it was pretty right on. This is cut 2, and it's 2 minutes in length. And this is prior to all of this taking place. Here's cut 2.
Not some of them, not a partial amount of them, all of them. We're talking every single last one was ordered to be out, actually, I should say, because there are some, as we sit right now, and Julie Kelly, I just saw, has been reporting out, that they're still not released from the DC gulag. This is a problem. This is a massive, massive problem. Get them out right now. And if you're in charge, if you are, by the way, involved in this DC prison system, if you're involved, look, let me tell you something right now. Zoom back here a second. The city of Washington, D.C. did everything they could to sabotage President Trump's inauguration. All right, let me tell you something right now. It was just like J6, because Muriel Bowser, who sabotaged that day, is now working to sabotage this. Roadblocks that shouldn't be there. Police all over the place doing things that has nothing to do with protecting anyone's safety. Why do you need roadblocks all over the city for indoor events? Look, I've been in town when popes have come, when kings have come, presidents, world leaders, all sorts of summits. I was here when Biden was inaugurated. I was here when Trump was first inaugurated. I've never seen the roadblocks like this outside here. There's roadblocks through the entire downtown, even areas that weren't involved with the inauguration. It was a travesty. It was a sham. And that's exactly what Washington, D.C. is doing. The D.C. Home Rule Charter should be shredded. Speaker Johnson, go and shred the D.C. Home Rule Charter right now. Then go over to the D.C. gulags and say, let these J6ers out immediately. Not five more minutes, not five more hours, not five more days. Immediately, right now, home. We're sick of it. We're not playing any of these games anymore. Now, oh, there's a little bit of paperwork, and let me just get the papers right here, and I gotta get the papers. No, no. We're done with it. We're done with all of it. No more games. This is the golden age now. And the golden age exists because the American people willed it into existence.
So Randy Taylor, I mean, he's right on the money, and he incorporated what I was saying too about how the administrative state has really attempted to sabotage President Trump's day yesterday and our time in D.C., as well as the executive orders, the implementation of the executive orders. I mean, to me, all of this is related, and it's this F.U. attitude toward this administration. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't agree with them. It could be. It also could be a little bit of people that are inept working there. The focus has been so much on DEI anymore that, you know, Lord knows who you have in charge. It's a combination of things, I think. But all you got to do is look out.
I mean, if you're in charge here, you look out the window, you see a whole bunch of people, a couple of congressmen wanting a very simple thing. And look, I know, as Randy Taylor knows, okay, there's some processing of paperwork. You gather your stuff. You're given your stuff.
Well, there'd definitely be a jerk around.
Oh, yeah.
Who's doing it exactly? I don't know. But they need to be tracked down and found out.
Okay, now think about this. Going back to what Steve Bannon was talking about, and the question he asked, can a sitting congressman who accepts a pardon still fit to serve in that office? Randy Taylor, your thoughts?
I say no.
No.
Because they're obviously criminals.
To accept a pardon is inherently to admit guilt.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, you could say, well, I'm accepting it, but I didn't do anything wrong. Then why in the hell are you accepting it?
Then you have nothing to worry about. There's nothing ever, has there ever been a case where Trump went after somebody and made up charges?
Correct. Nor has there ever.
There's never been.
But there's never been preemptive pardons with the exception of Nixon. So what the hell are we, what in the hell is going on here?
That's my point. There's no record of Trump breaking the laws of the Constitution. There's no record of it. So you have no, that would be the pretense that they would try and claim that they accepted these pardons. Well, he's going to come after us. He's going to make things up. There's no history of that. There's not a single incident of that ever. Anywhere.
When he had the chance and the momentum to go after Clinton.
Yes, he could have. He absolutely could. And he let her go.
Yes.
Took the high road. So all of that's bullshit. The people that accepted these should be presumed guilty by the citizens of the United States, by we the people.
Amen to that. That's correct. I 100% agree with you. And by the way, somebody mentioned Stargate in the chat. We'll talk about that tomorrow too. But I think Pozo's right. Look, the DC Home Rule Charter, in case folks are wondering what that is, it was signed into law back in December of 1973. And it applies to the District of Columbia, and it provides for an elected mayor and a city council, okay, to make it more like a city as opposed to a district. And under the Home Rule Charter, Congress retains the authority to review all the legislation passed before it can become law. And the president, by the way, appoints the district judges and so on. But And there's no representation in Congress, but the fact that they're able to have this structured government should be ripped out from underneath them, and because of this, and I direct your attention, RT and folks on your screen, this is page 2, and this is something that I think will answer a lot of questions. This is from Revolver.News. Mayor Bowser is the driving force behind delaying the release of the pardoned J6 hostages. Why does her name keep, RT, from Seth Rich, which people have forgotten about, to the present day? Why does this name keep popping up everywhere? I mean, seriously.
She's a problem.
She's a big problem. And the article at Revolver.News, folks, I'm not going to go through it. You can go through it. But the fact of the matter is, these people that are in power, and especially in D.C., are just sticking it to us even after we have won the mandate that we won, you know, through the Trump election.
It's time to step on them.
Yeah, exactly. But a very good article there, because what is taking place right now is false imprisonment, conspiracy against rights under the color of law, and obstruction of justice. And you can throw in prison, false imprisonment and kidnapping based on the fact that they've been pardoned and a release has been granted. This is not right. So I'm just saying,
maybe he should have made those pardons all the way back to 2014.
Yeah.
Then they couldn't go on previous charges.
Well, yeah. Good. Oh, man. It blows my mind. It really does.
He needs these people that are causing a problem need to be shown who's in charge.
They do.
Absolutely. Without fail, and in a way that they will never forget.
And you know, folks, are we going to live this way? I don't think we will. And I think something is going to take place. I don't know exactly what, but I think at some point people are going to say, look, we've had enough, and mm-hmm. we're not going to put up with this crap anymore.
Yep. And that's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to snap.
Yeah.
Or a group of people are going to snap. And it's... Yeah, we're not going to let them get away with it. The fight's not over. The fight wasn't just getting President Trump in office. Taking America back. Yep. That's the fight. And we're not even close. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
And if we don't get there.
Sounds like I almost stole that from a song, doesn't it? We got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
You can actually
Smokey and the Bandit. Yeah.
Is that Smokey and the Bandit?
Yeah. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. But we do have a long way to go, ladies and gentlemen. And President Trump can't do it by himself, obviously. So
no.
Be ready. Be ready. No. People may have to step up and back up our guy.
Oh, man. Just a few more things. It's interesting because an article by David Hawkins in Slay, I don't know how many people saw this, but there are problems with Biden's preemptive pardons. They don't offer full protection. A top legal, and this is in the show notes on, this is page 3 of the show notes, by the way. A top legal expert just delivered some devastating news to those who thought they escaped justice, okay? In the final hours as president, on Sunday night, Biden issued a round of high-profile pardons. All right, so Fauci, Cheney, J6 committee, and the witnesses. Biden's actions reportedly intended to blunt potential reprisals. So, and that includes Mark Milley and such. However, legal experts have pointed out that the pardons are actually great news for those seeking justice against the very individuals who received the pardons. They don't shield recipients from testifying under oath in civil, criminal, or congressional proceedings. Huh. Plus, they also block them from evoking the Fifth Amendment to refuse to testify.
Another thing, if you think about, they're saying the reason they didn't release some of the J6ers, they said because of previous charges. So a pardon apparently has to have a specific charge named, correct?
Customarily in the
customarily.
Past.
So when you issue a preemptive, do these preemptives say what those possible crimes were?
I've read a couple of them. And for example, the parameters are very broad. For example, the J6 pardons, anything related to the process of the J6 committee. And the witnesses, interviewing the witnesses, handling of the evidence and such, and things like that.
And I could break that down into a good lawyer is going to have fun with this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So some are saying that they're actually good news. No one who was just pardoned will be able to refuse to testify in any court or invoke their Fifth Amendment rights. So,
that's okay as far as exposure goes, you know, exposing what happened. But, you know, I want to see some people in jail that were given pardons.
And I think we can get there. The exposure first and then jail
it's going to end up, the Justice Department's going to end up fighting this out.
Yeah. 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 I think
Pam Bondi's just the one to rip these people to shreds.
Now, Jim Jordan's piping in here too, you know. And look, I've seen Jim Jordan all hat, no cattle, and a lot of smoke.
He talks a good show. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah. And I cannot see anything coming from anything other than a special counsel. And I believe a special counsel is needed against all of these, you know, the Biden pardons. Jonathan Turley, in the last video we have, it's a minute 15, Jonathan Turley, who is, he's got a good mind, legal mind. He responded to the Biden crime family, not Fauci, not J6, but just the crime family. He responded to the last-minute family pardons, and what he said I thought was pretty interesting. Again, this is cut 7, last one of the night. It's a minute 15, and now tell me what you think of this. Here it is.
I mean, you do that in the final 15 minutes because you don't want press scrutiny. And it really sort of stripped away any pretense from any of this. He couldn't say this was because his son was an addict or a pending case. This was about protecting the Biden family. I've been writing about the Biden family for about two decades. And this is a city that really values insider influence peddling. It's the favorite form of corruption. But we have never seen anyone like the Biden family. They are in a league of their own. We're talking millions of dollars that ultimately went through various accounts from foreign sources. We're talking about a president who repeatedly lied to the American people, a media that enabled all of this to happen. And at the very end, he really fulfilled the worst stereotypes of his legacy. And I think that ultimately this is what will be the most lasting aspect of the Biden legacy is this corruption. And this was an act of corruption.
Well, sir, thank you for your time. I know it was short, but we've got a lot going on. Nice to see you, Professor.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but to me, I think that that's pretty well stated.
Just, I can't believe the small things that they went after Trump about, the things they made up about Trump. And you've got somebody like Biden sitting in office all this time, the last 4 years, that hasn't been charged.
Yeah.
Joe Biden needs to be charged. Joe Biden needs to go to prison. Joe Biden needs his assets seized. Joe Biden needs his pension taken away from him. He needs this. I'm sorry. The law applies to everyone. I don't give a shit that he's an old man. I don't care. He can die in the can.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you.
I don't care. If he was laying on the ground, I'd kick him. I don't like the old bastard.
Well, you know, I look.
This two-tiered law has to stop. This has got to stop.
And can you imagine? I mean, think about where we're at right now with these preemptive pardons. The J6ers, pardon-wise, folks, that was for a specific crime. It was very narrow, and it was
and it done. Stated it. It stated it.
Right, right. But when you have these preemptive pardons that we've never had in the past, you have this absolute lawlessness now opened up for future administrations. How can people even be okay with this? It's ridiculous.
This has got to be stepped on. It's got to be destroyed. Those pardons need to be overturned somehow legally.
And I think a lot of I think there are some attorneys getting together to review the legal aspects of these pardons to see even if they're legal, constitutional, or valid.
I had up until what you said about Nixon, I had never heard of a preemptive pardon that just thrown out there just in case you get in trouble.
I say Nixon, was that a preemptive pardon? I suppose that's the closest thing to a preemptive pardon. It was an all-encompassing pardon that
it was just the first all-encompassing is one thing, but preemptive.
Well, if they would have discovered additional crimes associated with Watergate, the cover up, and that, so I guess you could say it was preemptive.
But you would also say, here's the original charge and anything associated to. So I could see that,
right.
Okay? But I can't see preemptive. You haven't been charged yet,
and anything associated that may be discovered. I from memory, I'm trying to remember how that was.
Okay, but there was an original charge.
But there yes.
So there's a basis for the pardon. These pardons that he issued, preempted, there's no basis for them.
No. Well, correct. No. This is a, I don't know.
What a dangerous can of worms to open.
Well, the reason behind the reason that Biden gave was because Trump President Trump is such a vengeful person. He's going to come after the political enemies, which is exactly what Biden did as opposed to what President Trump has
done. Absolutely. Once again, there's no record of Trump doing such a thing. But we've watched for the last 4 years, Biden. And did you see what they said about Jack Smith? Jack Smith asked for a pardon.
Oh.
A White House staff person said... Yeah. Biden said, no, he let us down. Let him live with the consequences.
You know, I saw that, and I hope that's true. But I don't know if that is, but it sounds
who
reasonable.
Who posted it? I read it somewhere. Did Posobiec post that?
I don't know who posted it, but I read it as well.
I don't remember right off who posted it. However, hey, you know what? To me, it sounds very real.
Yeah, it has a ring of truth to it. So
it has definitely a ring of truth to it. And there's a little bit of truth in every lie, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's right. So tomorrow, I know, folks, you're interested in Project Stargate. I know that we've got to talk about that. That was kind of a shocking, not necessarily shocking, but certainly an announcement that really needs some inspection. That was announced today at the White House, Project Stargate, a $500 billion AI infrastructure investment with OpenAI, Oracle, and SoftBank. I don't know how many people saw that announcement, but there it is. So we've got to talk about that. We've got to talk about some other things, including where we're at with the remaining J6 hostages and what we're going to do about the J6 committee and the people who have received these pardons. Big deal, as far as I'm concerned. It's a big friggin' deal. Randy Taylor, what are your thoughts on other issues that we need to cover?
I think we did a pretty good job of covering things up tonight. I'm not covering things up, but covering things tonight. We've got a whole ton of stuff every day now that Trump's in office. There's going to be plenty to talk about. And Doug had sent me a list of some of the things that the executive ordered into law. And we can go down that list and cover some of them. Some of them are very interesting. I'm interested to see what's going to happen as far as were all the hostages released in Israel.
That's another thing.
Okay, that's something we need to talk about.
Yes.
Okay, and that right there is a good segment right there, at least 15 minutes of tomorrow night, maybe.
It was heartbreaking to see the three women. I don't know what those animals did to those three women. Damn them.
They're going to pay, Doug. They've been paying, and they're going to continue to pay. Because as far as I'm concerned, Hamas is Palestine. They're all together. They're all the same thing. People can differentiate all they want. Sorry. One and the same to me.
And we have
had all those Palestinians jumped up and, demanded that those people were released, they would have been released.
Yes.
But they weren't. The Palestinians did not demand it. And what they did to those horrible people, those people were horrendous. Imagine if that was your daughter or your wife, or your brother or your son. You'd want blood. I would.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing. I would go after it.
Absolutely. And I'd be right with you, brother. Don't you know it?
Yep. Yep. And you mentioned the presidential actions. President Trump withdrew us from the World Health Organization.
Yes.
I love that.
What a worthless organization. I'm waiting for him to criminalize the World Economic Forum. That's what I'm waiting for.
That's, I have a feeling that a lot of NGOs, including that.
Yep. And one other thing I wanted to see on the list, but I didn't see it. I would like to see our military bases, their names returned to what they were.
Well, okay. Hey, we got the Gulf of America now.
Yeah. Hey. But Fort Bragg and all these places need to go back to their names. And all those southern statues that were pulled down need to be put right back up.
I totally agree with you.
Sick and tired of this crap. You can't erase history. You learn from history.
That's right.
If you bury the statues in the closet, no one's going to remember.
Amen to that. One more thing. It's interesting that, thanks, you saw me digging for my program clock. There's been a hiring freeze put on, a return to in-person work for federal employees. You got to love that. Then, of course, just opening Drill Baby Drill. Man, there's several executive orders for drilling, opening Alaska, and more, and others. So we're looking at a lot of good things.
He said that in his speech yesterday, Drill Baby Drill.
Yeah. Oh, and one last thing.